24 hours. And so it's almost like something, you know, that we've been praying for this service now for 24 hours, around the clock, nonstop. And so this word came forward, and it definitely, I love this one. So let's read it. Ephesians 1:17-23. Just want to declare it. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that's awesome, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Just receive this tonight. Go ahead. Just right there where you're at. That you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. If I was you, I'd just receive that over my life. I'd probably, like Pastor Smallwood said, I'd just begin to declare that every day in 2015, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Welcome tonight. So glad you're with us. So we're going to continue in the series of Family, the Government of God. Let's see, any announcements? You know, I want to pray a special prayer tonight for Virginia. She is in the hospital right now, and I have a feeling she's watching. So with me, can you just agree with me together tonight as we pray for her? Let's pray, church. Father, we thank You that Virginia is the healed of the Lord, that she has a miraculous recovery, that she confounds the doctors with her recovery, that she is a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, that her physical restoration just testifies to the glory of God and Christ's power in the earth. We bless You. We thank You for her. We pray her back real quick into the service of the kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tonight, go with me to Luke 15. Luke 15, let's start in verse 20. Of course, you know, this is the story of the prodigal son. This is, you know, when we read this story, we always consider this story to be about the prodigal son. I less and less think about the prodigal son when I read the story, and more consider it to be about the father's love towards his children. I want to remind you that you know, the person telling this story, you know who it is? It's Jesus. It's in red. Jesus is telling the story of a father and how a father loves his children, how he loves his son. It's always encouraged me when I read this story that Jesus told it. And if you keep that in mind, you understand that Jesus really in this story is telling you about his father. He's sharing a story of his father's love toward him. So let's start in verse 20. It says, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell and kissed his neck. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" Look at what the son did there. The son recognized something. I just want to bring to your attention tonight. That the son recognized that in the father's house, in his father's house, that there was a government. There was governing in his father's house. He comes, he's in a place where he's eating what pigs eat. And he comes to himself and he says, "I'm going home to see my father." And he meets his father. And the first thing he does to his father is he apologizes. He says, "Dad, I really messed up. I really made some mistakes here." And he recognizes without his father telling him, without his father, let's just pay attention to this. That when he left the governing of his father, you know, family, we're talking about family in the month of January. And family, when we define family, we define it as the government of God in the earth. And so when he left his father earlier in the story, do you remember how his father gave him what he asked for? That he didn't regulate his power or authority in his life. He didn't tell him, you know, He didn't try to pass legislation to force him to do something that was his will. The father in the story didn't say, well, you know, these are the laws of my house, and if you're going to be a son of mine, then these are the laws you have to abide by. And by God, if these are my laws. He didn't try to legislate and regulate government in his life. He allowed the son to recognize the governing of the father in his life. And that governing came from a place. It came from a place that was extravagant love. And the father, and he wakes up. He wakes up in the pig pen. He says, I'm going home and I'm going to apologize to my father, because I recognize that his love for me was the thing that restores me. And it is the governing that I need in my life. See, lots of times when we consider, you know, what we like to think about, and I want to speak delicately here. Lots of times I'm asked to be on boards. Here, I'll put it this way. I'm asked to be on this board or that board, you know, governing boards. And I get on these boards, and what I discover right away is that boards are from the devil. For the most part. not really. But when I get on most of them, what I recognize is what's attempting to take place is we're attempting to replace the government of God with a government of man. We're attempting to take the heart of the Father and make rules and regulations out of it. So let's pass a bunch of rules. Let's obey a bunch of rules. Let's establish, you know, these are the board rules of how we run this organization. And many times I'll get in the middle of that and I'll recognize that, because when you're born of the Spirit, all that matters to you, right? When you're born of the Spirit, how many can testify that when the Spirit is in you, it doesn't recognize rules as much as it recognizes restoration of relationship. And so I get in the middle of these things, and I'm always in a precarious position where I'm like, I understand you have rules, but you know what? Your rules are really not God's heart right here. And I get in the middle of them, and how many know that sometimes we can get in trouble? The Spirit, that's when they say the Spirit and the flesh, they are at ends with one another. And I get in the middle of these things, and oftentimes I'm seen as an antagonist. Like, why don't you just sit down? You know how long it took us to pass these rules and regulations of this organization, and you come in here with your fancy Holy Ghost, and you want to just usurp all of the... You know you're that way, too. You're here on a Thursday night, and it's 0 degrees outside. You're that way, too. Because the government of our Father is always about restoration. And it's always the tendency of sons. It's always the tendency, not of sons, of children. It is a character trait of a child to want to live through a relationship by rules. It's such an immature place, and it's child's play in the kingdom, because sons and daughters, all that we know, we understand that what governs our life is our relationship with Christ, not our rules. There are, you know, there is regulation of the Spirit. It's called the laws in Christ Jesus. The law of Christ Jesus. There is Spirit there. There is liberty there. There's this freedom that comes from the Spirit that speaks to our hearts, that tells us there is a government of God in the earth. So let's talk about it. So when we talk about government, we're talking about this governing of the earth. That we've replaced really with the government of man. So when I say, when we talk about government, and what we tend to think about is rules and regulation and all of the bureaucracy. How many know in church you can come across a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of red tape, a lot of rules and regulations? Well, you can't be on the prayer team until you go through a whole just barrage of rules and regulations. But sometimes there are these things where the Spirit of God just wants to move on a life and say, well, you know, I know those rules exist for a reason, but can we just operate by the Spirit here for just a second and all understand that what God's attempting to do here is bigger than our rules? And so this government of God in the earth, you know, God we in our nation, we love to think of our nation as the one who created, like, the government from God. You know, we that's probably one of the biggest, you know, it's like our patriotic mantra. Like, our government is foundational. It is from Christian values. And while that may be true, there was a government originally established by the Father. And it was the government of the family. And if we had just stayed true to the government of the family in the earth, then all of the issues, I heard one person say that every issue that ever existed in the earth can be traced back to a father and a son in a broken relationship. And if you think of any issues around you right now, you know, maybe there's issues with your life or issues with people around you, you can definitely concur that any issues in the earth that are creating problems, no matter where, they can always be traced back to a father and a son in a broken relationship. And that this government of God in the earth creates this connection to the Father that everyone looks for, everyone desires. Isaiah 9:6 says this. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder." Unto us a child is born and a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. Isaiah said this, and he was making a reference about Jesus. And notice that childs are born, but sons are given. Jesus was given to the world that the government would rest upon his shoulders. You and I, as sons and daughters of God, are given to the world so that the government of God would rest upon our shoulders. But notice that it can't rest upon the shoulders of children. It can only rest upon the shoulders of sons and daughters. Sons and daughters are the only ones who can carry revival to the world. Sons and daughters are the only ones who have the capacity and the strength enough to establish the governing of God in the earth with equity and justice, grace and mercy. See, a child will establish, they'll try to establish justice, but they'll establish it based upon regulation and rules and laws. And they'll say an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And they'll say, if you kill one, then you deserve to die. But Jesus has a way to release the oppressed and the oppressor all at the same time. It is this mysterious third way of Jesus that is only found in sonship. And sons are given. You and I have been given. We've been given to the world. And the world, literally, if you're here tonight, if you're watching tonight, if you're listening, the world is literally waiting for your sonship or your daughtership to manifest. Because there's government that needs to come from you. There's government. There's governing of the world that needs to come. We wait for the U.S. government, the Supreme Court of the United States, to pass laws to reaffirm or hopefully, right? Hopefully pass laws that we agree with. We struggle and strive in all of our elections to put people in office that represent our core values and our governing morality, right? And God here in this particular passage, Isaiah 9:6, it says, the government will be upon the shoulders of whom? The sons. He's literally saying, my children in the earth shall establish when my children enter the earth, the government of heaven literally invades it and is established in the earth. And we look at the Supreme Court as the highest court in the United States. But I'm here to tell you tonight, if you're a son and a daughter, if you're listening tonight and you're a son and a daughter, your authority is above the Supreme Court. Because he said the government shall rest upon your shoulders. That means when you go into a place. Now consider, you know, what we do when we gather together. As sons and daughters, when we enter a place together corporately like this, we come together and as sons and daughters who have the governing authority, And in the, you know, in Washington, D.C., when they would all converge upon the Capitol building, right? Governors from here and governors from here and governors from, you know, there. And they all, you're a governor from your district, you're a governor from your district, you're a governor, Jamie, you're a governor. And you all descend upon one place, right? And what are they doing? They're passing legislation. They're taking the issues of the nation before the Capitol, and they're divided in sects, and you know that still exists in the kingdom. We got to get rid of that too. We got Democrats and Republicans in the kingdom. I can't figure it out, but they exist, and they tend to sit like that too. It's like they're over there and they're over there, and you know. But we'll work on that later. But first, let's understand that we are governors in the world. That God has positioned us strategically where we are, sons and daughters, the government rests upon us, and that when we come together, something happens. I'll never forget when I went to Washington, D.C., and I was there ministering to the homeless, and you know, and I there was this moment of clarity. I looked around, and there were just all of these guys in power suits with power briefcases and, you know, power shoes. And they just looked like they were on 10, you know. And I looked around and I thought, man, I am in the center of the most powerful place of the world, really. The world. Like in this place, in this city, the president of the United States of America lives right up there. As we were walking through one night, the president flew over top of us in his helicopter and landed on the White House. I thought, man, and there was this moment where I sat there and I thought, I looked around and we're giving food to homeless people and we're establishing a different kind of government. And I looked around and I saw all the governors and, you know, people working for the government just walking around. And I thought, man, this is crazy. We're in the middle of the most powerful place on earth and we're invisible. We were invisible. Like nobody cared. Like we were ministering to people. And they were just walking by, and they didn't even pay us any attention. Nobody. And I thought to myself, that's so bizarre that we're here. And I look back and I think, man, that's really crazy. We were there as sons and daughters, and we were establishing the government of God in the earth. We were establishing the government of God in the earth. We were setting people free. We were praying for people that were being healed. Later that day, 25 Muslim students surrendered their life to Christ and spoke in tongues, got down on their knees. Like we were there under the radar of the most powerful government that the world has ever known. And the scripture that came to me is it says that the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. That in the midst of the most powerful structures, the most powerful government of the world, suddenly the government of God was being established. And now consider when we gather together on a Thursday night. Governing, you know, you're the governor from there and you're the governor, and we've all descended tonight. What would you like to decree tonight? What in the earth would you like to release into the atmosphere tonight? Because the government of God has been assembled. Hear ye, we are in order. We are in court tonight. The kingdom of heaven is being represented tonight. And I ask you, what is it that the prince of the kingdom, what is it that Jesus has placed inside your heart? What is the king of glory, come on, put inside of your heart tonight to release to the earth? Because we are the most powerful government in the galactic universe. You think about how trite we treat that. You think about who's not here tonight. You think about how easily we become offended. You know what's amazing to me? Is that Republicans and Democrats can speak to each other in like the most crazy way and just dog each other. And the next thing you know, they're having dinner together and hanging out. I'm like, if that were to happen in the kingdom, there would be a church split, there would be a fight, there would be a knockdown drag out, there would be I never forgive you, and you know, there would be hellfire and brimstone that would happen. But we look for any reason, and you think the enemy doesn't have an agenda here. You think the enemy doesn't want to usurp the most powerful force available to the world? You think the enemy doesn't want to take out governors everywhere? It's like, if I could just keep them, look, it doesn't matter to me if you go to heaven at this point.
You think about the plan of the enemy. Okay, Nicole, you can go to heaven. But you know what you can't do? I'm not going to allow you to get together with all of these other governors and start passing laws in Christ Jesus in the earth. I can't have you, you know, curing cancer. I can't have you releasing healing manifestation in the earth. I can't have you restoring families. I can't have you down there at the Haven Center laying hands on the addicted and the oppressed. I can't have that. So what I'll do is I'll get you offended, or I'll run you ragged, you know, doing this or that or the other. I'll just run you in circles, or I'll make, you know what I'll do? I'll make you so tired, or I'll just get you so weary, or I'll just get you. So I just can't have you all gathered together, you know, really figuring out that when you gather together, the most powerful government in the galactic universe is represented. And it's in that moment that spiritual laws are taking place, and words of freedom are being released, and the entire region is being set free because the kingdom's being represented. And we look at the kingdom as all this like fluffy stuff. We look at the kingdom like, when I even say that, you're like, kingdom, and the kingdom of God. You're like, oh, that's a great, you know, that's a great symbolic word to represent, you know, Jesus. But when you really think about it, the kingdom of God is you as a governor who has the government of God on your shoulder, because our Father is our Father. But you think about how anti-Christ not attending churches. Now I'm going to mess with some people. Now I'm going to mess with some people. You think about how anti-Christ it is. I'll give you a second. I had a conversation the other day with a guy. Hey, I don't go to church, man. I don't have to go to church. I said, oh, really? So, when Jesus said in Matthew 6, our Father... He's not my Father and your Father. He's just your Father. Do you have an exclusive relationship with the Father that Jesus doesn't have, or I don't have? Or is there a different Father? Or you don't believe in the family of God? Is that what you're saying? You don't believe in the family of God, so we're really not the family of God, so therefore we really don't have to assemble together as the family of God? You think about how anti-Christ it is. What you say when you say, I don't need to be a part of a family. Oh, that hurts, doesn't it? I don't have to be a part of a family to belong to a family. Let me know how that works out for you in reality. Let me know how that works out for you in your marriage. I don't have to be a part of this marriage to belong to this marriage. I don't have to be a part of this marriage to receive the benefits of intimacy of marriage. Guys, let me know how that works out for you when you go home and talk to your wife tonight. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way, because if we are the family of God, then we all come to the same table to eat, to dine together. We all descend upon one place in a family reunion to establish the government of God in the earth, to strengthen it, to understand what's the King of Glory got on his mind today? I mean, what is it that he wants to do in our nation? What is it he wants to do in our region? I met with a man earlier today, and all we talked about was what God's about to do in this region. We talked about revival. We talked about hundreds of thousands of people coming to know Jesus. And it was about the government. It was like he was from the other side of Canton, and I'm over here in Lonesome, you know, between Avon and, or I'm in Valley, or I'm in Avon between Lorraine and Valley View, and we meet, and suddenly these two governors from different districts come together, and all we can talk about, how are we going to establish the kingdom? I mean, how are we going to, as sons and daughters, as sons who realize that we've been given? So it must be one of two things. Either we don't realize we've been given to the world, or we minimize our sonship, or we're orphans. We're orphans. And if you feel like you're an orphan tonight, I pray before you leave that you understand that he's our Father. That Jesus is our brother. He's our brother. He's our high priest. That makes us the family of God in the earth. The family. The government of God in the earth. Set to establish the kingdom in the earth. And we all know that government is needed. The Son was given to establish that government, and sons will continue that government. It can be no other way. We are sons and daughters, and it is our responsibility to establish the government of God in the earth. John 17:22-23 says this.
And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Jesus says, when in this particular passage, the glory that you've given me, which you gave me, I gave them. But it's in the family. The sonship that I've received from you, I've given to them. And this glory, watch what this glory does. When this glory rests upon people, watch this. And that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world, what? May know. That the world may know. The world will recognize the government that rests upon you, because it will appear as glory. It will appear as glory upon us, and the world will be so attracted to it that they'll come running to you in their moment of desperation. They'll come running to you when crisis hits their home. There is a glory that is attractive to the world when we love according to heaven's government. There's such a search for fathers in our day. There's such a search for them. I mean, it's everywhere I go. It's in every crisis I experience. My father, you know, a lot of you know, my father passed away a few years ago. And recently we did some work in the home. We remodeled the kitchen and we put down some new floors. And in moving some of the stuff around, we pulled the stove out. And when we pulled the stove out, that big, powerful plug down there came with it, and light shot out and power went out, and it scared me, and I was freaking out. You know, I'm like, well, I guess that's unfortunate. I guess we're not going to be eating anything anytime soon, you know, I thought to myself, because there were a couple of things that I always called my father for. One was the electric. I didn't play with that. I didn't stick my fingers in there. Right, I was just like playing with death. I didn't stick my fingers in the death. And the other was gas. I didn't want to play with that either. You blow up. One, you get, you know, one you blow up. The other one, you get shocked. And so I'm not playing with either one of those. So when anything would happen, I would call him. Especially, you know, in the previous, you know, 6 years before he went on to the Lord. And, but you know, when father's not there, you got to kind of do what you got to do. And you got to make your way. And so in that moment, I was just like, God, I don't know what to do. So I do. And that's a word for an entire generation. It's a word for an entire generation. It says, when dad's not there, if father's not there, they're just doing the best they can. They'll have to microwave their food, but they got to eat. There's an entire generation microwaving their food. They're making up a God. Sometimes we do that. Because there's no father there, then what else do you do? You got to do something. So I YouTubed it, you know. Okay. Oh, Jesus, I prayed hard. Sister, I was praying in tongues. Like, So I got that little thingy and I started checking it. You know, I'm touching everything with it. You know? I turned off the electricity to the house. Like, just turn it all off, you know. And eventually I got it all hooked up, plugged it in, scooted it back. So, okay, Becca, go turn on the breaker, see what happens. And it worked. Right. It worked. And there was a moment when I was down there fixing it. It was just such an incredible moment. Nobody knew. You know, my wife didn't know. She was off doing something. And I was down in this little place. And I'm down there and I'm thinking, I wish my dad was here. I wish my father was here. I wish I could connect with him. And in that moment, there was such a longing to be reconnected to my father. I just wish my dad was here. I want to connect with him. And throughout the project, there were many of those moments when, you know, because he was a carpenter and he could build a house from the ground up. And, you know, he used to have this saying, both my daddies were carpenters. And there's a lot of things about him, but it was... Because it was a work that reminded me of him. And throughout that work, I had such a longing to connect with him. Such a longing to connect with him. And I remember thinking to myself, I wish you were here so, not so you could do this work, but just so that we could connect again. And God in that moment said to me, you know, there's an entire generation that longs to connect to the Father. Just longs to connect to the Father. They don't know who He is, but they know they belong to somebody. They know they bear the image of someone. They just don't know who. And God desires to know His children. He desires to connect with His children. The family of God has become the foster family to the world, as all of creation longs for the connection to the Father. It's as if God has raised us up to be foster families to the world, to introduce them to the Father of eternity, you and I. You see, the prodigal son left. He left, he took off, and he the father let him go. But what the son really needed and desired was connection to the Father. What he really needed was connection to the Father. Everything the prodigal son needed, everything he sought after was at home. He finally came to himself. You think about this. He finally woke up in the mud, and it was in that moment where he realized, everything I left home for, I just want to return to. Everything he left for was already at the house when he left. Everything we need is here. We're searching so hard. We search so hard. A generation searches so hard for what's already here in the Father's house. So this tells us that we must connect deeper. We must connect deeper with one another. We must look at one another as sons. We must understand that we are sons and daughters, and that makes us sisters and brothers, and that makes us the family of God. That gives us the privilege. Lots of times people would ask me, how did you become a son? My heart turned. Malachi 4:6 says this. It says, he'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Malachi says that God's going to turn the heart of the father. And that word there, turn, it literally means to return. And it's a reference to life before the fall. It's God declaring, I'm going to hit the reset button. I'm going to hit the reset button, and I'm going to return to the way it was. I'm going to restore the family of God in the earth. There has to be a return as sons and not orphans. There has to be a point where we stop accusing the Father. If you're a father in here tonight and your children have ever accused you, it hurts so much. But we spend a lot of time in the kingdom, like in the family of God, accusing dad. It's almost as if we look for opportunities to accuse dad. Don't admit if you've ever done it. But there have been times where I've sensed that I was blaming dad for something. And in reality, it was me who walked away. In reality, it was me who left in pursuit of rings, robes, and shoes. When all the while, everything I needed, everything I desired was in my father's house. Was in my father's presence. Was in his will. The father's love convinced him of his identity. The father's love convinced him of his identity. The extravagant love of the father did this. The extravagant love of a father will do this. It'll convince you of who you are. You see, the whole time, when we're out and we're out in pursuit of things rather than his presence, what convinces us is his love. His extravagant love convinces us of who we really are. You see, the prodigal son woke up in the mud, and it was in that moment where he realized who his father was. He's like, my dad is a rich man, and he possesses all of these things, and I lay here, I'm going to go back home. And it was in that moment where he caught a glimpse of who he was. I read recently that the president's daughter was caught doing something. I don't know. She was acting like a teenager. And she was being, criticized for acting like a teenager. And I thought to myself, there'll be a day when she'll realize, she'll understand that her her father was the president of the United States of America. And that her behavior at that moment was not becoming of her identity. Yeah, that the way she was behaving really wasn't communicating really who she was. That she was acting all out of her identity. She was just acting like she's acting all out of her identity when in reality she is the daughter of the president of the United States. And she's going to look back on that moment and she's going to say to herself, I was the daughter. I am the daughter of the president of the United States. My character should be defined according to my father's image and likeness. And oftentimes we like to think of ourselves according to what we've done and where we've been. And that is not at all our identity. You see, tonight, your identity is not defined by where you've gone or what you've done or even what you've accomplished. It's not established by that at all. Your identity is established because your father is the one who hangs the earth upon nothing. And if you would understand for just a moment that your father, that you bear the image and the likeness of your father, and that sometimes your behavior doesn't really clearly communicate the nature or the identity of your father. You know, this is probably the struggle of a lot of us, where we find it hard, right? We find it hard to go, the way I've acted and the way I've been does not determine who I am. It doesn't determine who I am. If we would just take a moment to say, you know what? Who I am is defined by who my father is. Who I am is defined by who my father is. And stop identifying ourselves with what we've done. And it was in that moment when he woke up and he said, I'm going home. It was in that moment that he said, the Father's love convinces us, doesn't it? You ever been away from the Lord? And it's his goodness that compels you back to him. It is his love that runs you down and convinces you. It wasn't you didn't have to tell me that I was no good. I sensed that already. But I remember being somewhere at a certain time in a certain place, and I'm sitting there, and all I can think about, and that was back when Kurt Franklin was singing that one song. You know. Yes. Kurt Franklin Stomp. And I'm sitting in a place I shouldn't have been, doing something I shouldn't have been doing. And suddenly this song comes on, right? And I see all these people dancing to this song, and they're singing about Jesus. And I'm thinking, do these people not know that they're singing about Jesus right now? And in the middle of that night, I thought, I'm leaving. I'm going home. I can't be here with this. It was in the middle of my most sinful thing that God just was chasing me down. I couldn't run from his love. I couldn't escape it. Like, it didn't matter where I went. There was some sort of testimony of God's love telling me, Troy, I love you. And there's no matter where you go, I'm going to keep chasing you down. I'm going to keep running you down. It don't matter if you hide in a bar. Don't matter if you hide. It doesn't matter where you go, I'm going to continue to testify to you that you're my son, you bear my image and my likeness, and you have to get busy. Your identity is found in me. Go act like me. Go act like me. And so let me just testify to you tonight. It's time for us to start acting like our father. It's time for us to shoulder the government of God. And it's time for us to begin to go out into the world and begin to establish this government and bring revival. Bring revival. Revive people's heart. Revive them. Sonship is created when our identity comes from our Father rather than our pursuits. Sonship is created when our identity comes from our Father rather than our selfish pursuits. Lots of times we leave selfishly in pursuit of something, looking for our identity. But it's found in his image and his likeness. And it's time to return and come back to our Father. It's time to return to the original intent as a son and a daughter. And so tonight, I just want, as we close in prayer, I want to ask you, where are you in the process? Where are you in the process of sonship tonight? Are you the elder brother tonight? Is there bitterness? You can put my slide up now. Is there bitterness there? Are you running tonight? Can't see that very good. Are you pre-inheritance? Are you not asking? Are you an orphan, basically? That's what that one means. Are you not even asking for more? Are you just complacent and passive? Is that where you are in the process of sonship? Or are you running? Are you avoiding intimacy? Are you avoiding intimacy with the Father tonight? Are you right in the middle of the pig pen tonight? Some of us are right in the middle of the pig pen. Some of us are right in the middle of our hunger. We have a realization of God's goodness and we're ready to return. Or are you on the way home? Are you running home? Are you pursuing relationships with your father and your sisters and brothers? Or are you the elder brother? Is there an orphan spirit there? Are you performance oriented? Are you full of self-hatred and are you critical? Or are you a son? Are you at rest? Do you experience His favor tonight? Do you have a heart connection to the Father tonight? I ask you to stand to your feet with me tonight. And as we close in prayer, it's time for us to come back. It's time for us to understand that we're the family of God. We have such an incredible privilege to represent the family of God. That He indeed is our Father. And Jesus indeed is our brother. And that the world needs to be governed. And it needs to be governed according to the righteousness established by Jesus Christ. You see, it does not need to be regulated by rules and laws. It doesn't need to be legislated. What it needs to be governed by is the cross. The cross. So as you close your eyes tonight and bow your head, let's conclude this evening. To covenant to do this. To live as sons and daughters, establishing the government of God in the earth, never taking for granted the incredible privilege that we have to establish this government, to set people free, our families, the lost tonight. And right there with me this evening, why don't you go ahead and just begin to intercede for the lost tonight. Lord, we pray for the lost. We pray for those that need You tonight in this region and our families. We pray for every one of them. Just lift their names out. Just declare their names before the throne room of heaven. Begin to declare that they have an experience with Christ, that they have a revelation of who He is, that the righteousness of God convicts their hearts so much that no matter where they are, that our Father runs them down. That these inescapable, that they have an inescapable experience with the Holy Spirit right now. We pray that all men be saved according to Your word. Together tonight, we declare and decree that our lives belong to You, Father. That You indeed are our Father. That we love You and we bless You this evening. Tonight, we declare that as the governing force assembled tonight in the kingdom, we declare that cancer is against the law. It's officially, we pass a law tonight in the kingdom that declares that it has no legal authority to dwell among us. We declare tonight that disease of any kind is against the law. We declare that by the broken body of Jesus this evening, we receive the reward of the broken body of our Savior, which is our healing tonight. We declare tonight that those we name, that we called out before You this evening, receive the benefits of your spilled blood. That is the salvation of their souls. We bless you this evening, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity, the privilege to represent the most powerful government the world has ever known. Your kingdom, your family. We love you tonight and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're free to worship with us this evening. On the way out, we'll receive the offering. We thank you so much for your faithful giving here at Church on the North Coast. Our ushers will receive that on the way out. God bless you. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. Bring somebody to church on Sunday. Don't come alone. We'll see you Sunday.